I sit around after last week's revised draft of the prior recommendations we were discussing. Ross is not on the call. Ross is now sent around some comments. Ross, why don't you go through your comments so that we can sort of hear you out on what we put together.
Sure. Has everybody had a chance to read through those comments?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just pull those up here. Sorry, Brian, you caught me checking my email.
Okay. Don't worry.
Take me a second to pull this up here.
You sent it at 12:01 a.m. That's when I received it.
Sounds about right. Of course, it's sitting in a mailbox with 13,000 other messages, so it takes a bit to load up.
So So what you're saying then is only, of course, through the WDPRS, that the second clause where it says that the registrant, that the registrar will verify accuracy by taking the registrant through at least two of the following methods, that there will only be one method.
No. What I'm saying is that we, you got the first bit right, that we solely use the WDPRS, but that we remove the requirements to do it simultaneously. So I have no problem contacting the registrant through two of those four means, i.e. email and fax, or email and phone, or email and postal mail, or postal mail and fax, or whatever the combination of the two is. That's not what's at stake here. What I'm saying is that there's a requirement to do that simultaneously. Exactly.
All right. So otherwise, you're fine with A.
It sounds moderately reasonable, yeah.
Okay.
Moving on.
Okay.
Regarding 2A, let me just see what I've got here.
What about 1B? I take it you have no problems with that?
I'm skipping ahead. You're absolutely correct. I do. I'm trying to match your notes up with my notes here. We're using a different numbering. So my 1B and your 1B are not related to the same things. So your 1B... Rather than kind of jumping forward, I'm just going to continue through my notes here.
Okay.
So my 1B is as separate from your 1B. We need room within these processes to make judgments on their face and to. Force the deletion of the domain name after a specified period of time, regardless of the facts at hand, doesn't really lend itself to that flexibility that we're looking for. So anywhere where it says, for instance, in your 1B, that the failure to respond within 30 days will lead to the deletion of the domain name, we're looking for either much more open-ended timelines around that, or the keeping that condition optional as it currently is.
Right, but if there's no specified time frame, then there's no requirement. Whole impetus for this task force was that the enforcement regarding inaccurate data is just lacking. So. You know, it seems to me that it's problematic to say.
Well, I would just, that goes to my last comment in the statement here. I think we've misread what the mandate of this task force is. The mandate of this task force is to increase the accuracy of the WHIS database, not to bring additional enforcement rigor, not necessarily to move the onus from registrants to registrars, as we're currently discussing, and on. So I don't want to kind of perpetuate that myth that.
Well, but wait a second, Doug. I don't know that that's a fair comment, because...
How is it not a fair comment?
Well, one of the ways to increase the accuracy is to have you have to have some kind of enforcement mechanism in place when there's inaccurate data.
You're absolutely correct. That's one way to increase the accuracy of the data.
Right. So.
But that's not a requirement of this task force to put forward recommendations that require that.
Well, but if...
It's one option we have.
But if we don't have an effective enforcement mechanism to increase the accuracy,
that's your opinion.
No, but wait though. Think about it. You have a domain name registrant that comes in and registers the domain name.
Mm-hmm.
His or her responsibility to make sure it's accurate.
That's correct.
They don't do it for whatever reason. Some of them are evil.
Yeah.
Just mess it up. them change it, don't update it, but it's inaccurate.
Yeah.
Then a complaint is brought.
Mm-hmm.
Was to have that data corrected.
Yeah.
And so there needs to be some kind of enforcement to make that happen. Otherwise, there's no requirement that it take place within a certain specified period of time. Then there's no real burden to do that. There's no incentive for somebody to do it.
Sure.
Because they, you know, the rational actor is just going to say, well, I'm not required, so, you know, I've got other things to do.
But you're describing the system that we have today, and we have statistical data that indicates that the accuracy of the database is indeed improving despite these optional conditions. So your argument is flawed in that regard, Brian. Mandatory timelines and specific actions and enforcements don't exist within the current system, yet we're seeing increased data accuracy. So I'm not sure that I buy your reasoning at all.
You're saying then that the registrar constituency is just completely opposed to having a 30-day time limit to take these relatively minimal actions.
No, what I'm saying is that we're looking for more leeway in these guidelines so that we can look at specific instances and make determinations based on the facts at hand rather than dogmatically following a prescribed course of action that gives us no options. And I think if we talk to the other constituencies on the call, you would find that perhaps, and I could be wrong in this read, but that flexibility is something that the rest of the community is looking for as well.
Well, what do other people think about that?
I agree with what Ross has said.
Well, and this is Greg. I think that flexibility is a fine thing, and that...
Sarah Deutsch joining.
But I think that if there is no mandated time period under which these things would be fixed, then I agree that you don't have any incentive to fix them. It's pointless to have a mandate without a time frame. Have checking without a time frame.
Hi, this is Sarah Deutsch joining.
Yeah, hey Sarah. Just to bring you up to speed, what we're doing, you probably saw Ross last night with sort of his comments regarding the registrar constituency's position in response to what I had sent around after last week's call. And looking at draft that I had circulated, the first point was in point 1A email that any complaint should only come through the WDPRS and not by any other, take that language out, and that there should not be required to verify the accuracy of data by simultaneously checking various data elements. We delete, you know, we can delete the word simultaneously. Now we're talking about point 1B and what I had circulated and whether or not there should be a specific time limit within which the registrant has to provide updated data, and if he doesn't, then the domain name is placed on hold. Registrars have indicated that they don't want a specific time limit. They'd rather leave it to an ad hoc determination. I've said that I think it makes sense to have a time limit. Franny agrees with Ross and Greg that having a time limit also makes sense. Otherwise, it would be pointless.
If I could just refine that characterization of what I've written here is just slightly, Brian, what we're looking at is, or what we're saying is that specific action or specific time is appropriate, not specific action and specific time. To say that a domain name must be deleted after 30 days is a very, very final and definite statement. What we're looking for is either flexibility with the timelines or flexibility with the results. Currently, under the existing policy, we don't have flexibility as it relates to the timelines. We have flexibility as to the results. If we we can preserve that, we're also happy. So we're not looking to get rid of timelines and outcome, but would like to maintain that flexibility. But would instead like to maintain that existing flexibility that we have.
What do you mean?
Clear?
Ross, I'm not sure I follow you when you say flexibility as to what I mean.
For instance, I would like to retain the option that we have under the current policy not to cancel domain registration, but to put it on hold and take it out of the zone file. It doesn't resolve.
Now, wouldn't you want to give the customer some period of time with which to update their information? I mean, otherwise, if they're not given a time frame, what incentive would they have to correct the information? Or are you just saying you need flexibility in what time you give them?
I'm saying that we need either or. So if we're required to cancel a registration, I would like to give the customers that flexibility of time that you described. If, on the other end, the requirement is to conduct the process within 30 days, that may or may not be sufficient time to get the necessary accurate data or get an accurate response back from the registrant or find out whether there's extenuating circumstances or on and on and on. So it may be more appropriate to pursue, quote-unquote, lesser punishment at that point rather than simply canceling their registration and cutting off the registrant. And let me be clear, I'm not looking for both of those outcomes. I would like either or, right?
What if there was a 30 days on hold, 60 days canceled? And I, you know, just as an idea, sort of a two-tiered mechanism to do that. Because obviously all of this would have to be contracts. Accounts are going to know up front that they've got to keep the data accurate, which I guess it's already in there anyway. But, you know, they'll be on notice contract. And that might be an option for putting the domain name on hold within 30 days and then canceling it within 60. It seems to me that's enough time.
Well, you know, to be clear, Brian, I'm not sure that I want to make it more, add more penalties to this. The current draft is, I think, in that respect, very fair as it relates to 1A in your draft. And it's that flexibility that we would like to extend to 1B. So rather than overlaying different timelines around this, for instance, in the last sentence of 1A, you very graciously allow the registrar to be subjective about their implementation. And that's certainly what I'm looking to bring to 2A, or to 1A, or 1B, I'm sorry. Brian, is still with us?
Yes, uh-huh.
So, I'm not sure where that leaves us, but I was sort of waiting for a response.
It seems to me we need, getting back to Greg's point, you need some kind of deadline. And, here, system might be one way of addressing your, I don't doubt that everyone would want flexibility, but you're dealing with something basic, like the accuracy of the data, and if the burden is appropriately placed on the domain name registrant, which is where it should be in the first instance,
mm-hmm.
then it seems to me that having a timeline, a deadline, makes sense. And, I'm trying to accommodate your concern of maybe placing it on after 30 days is something that might work. I mean, I'd have to run that by the IPC to see what they think about that. But, that might be an option.
Okay, so why don't we just leave this for now? I can circulate a draft that around these first couple of points would satisfy what the registrar constituents is looking for. You can take it back to the IPC and we can discuss it further.
Why don't you do that? We'll take a look at that.
Okay.
You can circulate that to the list, and then we'll see what people think about that.
Okay. So moving on to my point number two, which is with regards to Brian's point 2A in his draft. Specifically there, we're looking for that to be an optional condition. The registrar may provide any complaint with the option of expedited verification. This is sort of an ancillary service. We would view this as being providing an ancillary service. There's no current obligation under any of the contracts. The registrars must provide services in any aspect of the domain name system. Or even be open to the public themselves. So we would view this as an inappropriate requirement as written. We would like to move that second word to read may provide.
Okay. I'm not agreeing with that, but I understand your point.
Okay.
And that's certainly something that we can all think about and decide upon. What other comments did you have?
Regarding your 2.3b, which... concerns.
Telephone.
2.3. What does 2.3b read? If you could, here it is. Here, a registrant whose name is canceled or placed on hold due to inaccurate data. We're looking for that entire clause to be stricken. It's definitely the case that the registrar constituency membership does not want to be stuck between two opposing parties and acting as a collection agency. If there's any dispute as to fees, that should be taken up between those parties.
Right. I guess where the IPC comes down on that is that it seems to be an improper allocation of the burden if the complainant has to pay for accurate data on the register is contractually obligated to provide it in the instance.
Yeah, and we understand that concern. And given that we have all sorts of mandatory processes up front that give a complainant the option to avail themselves of freely available services that are mandatory, for them to assume an optional fee because they're looking for expedited services is certainly something that they can approach with discretion. So it's not that your complainant class would be forced to pay these fees in every instance. So we're definitely shying away from having to reimburse or somehow mediate the collection of these fees.
Okay, well, why don't you go ahead and, if you would, take what I had sent around and then revise that along that here, and we'll take a look at that, circulate that, play before, say, by Friday, if you way.
I can do that this morning. That's fine. And the last point that I wanted to bring up is more of a general point that we would we request be dealt with somewhere in the substance of the recommendations coming from the task force that outlines the move from putting the onus of the burden, moving that from registrants to as we're currently discussing. A definite change in policy, and I think our work would be incomplete without making some sort of statement along those lines.
Well, I think if we have the mechanism in place so that it is the burden is on the registrant, and I think this gets to the timeline issue, because if you have a hard and fast these things, the registrants will get they'll get the message, and then they'll take their obligation to provide accurate data more. I think over time, the problems with inaccurate data will decline. I agree completely that the registrant is the one who's in the best position to make sure the data is accurate. But I believe there are some requirements that the registrars have for enforcing the. Aren't there some requirements for registrar enforcement of the accuracy of the data?
None that I'm aware of. No.
All right. Well, I'll take a look at those agreements again. I definitely agree that the burden should be on the registrants, and if we have the proper enforcement mechanism in place, I think that burden will stay where it should be, because they're obviously in the best position to ensure that the data provided is accurate.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to be real explicit about that point and make sure it gets dealt within the context of the final report.
Yeah, no, I think that obviously everybody will have an opportunity to get their two cents in on the final report, and that's fine. So, but why don't you go ahead and revise that and circulate it, and then everyone can get that out to their constituencies, and we can talk about this further next week at the same time.
Great.
And unless anybody has anything else, I think we should just go ahead and turn for today, and then take it up next week.
So, Deborah, I'm rather concerned, actually, that there have been no other comments from the other constituencies on your draft, Brian. And I don't know how to go about soliciting that in any other way than to directly ask for it. But I would just say that I am concerned about that.
Well, I mean, I can't. If they're obviously they have their representatives on the call, and they can comment on the call. We've had a few oral comments.
Mm-hmm.
But if people want to provide additional comments, they should post them to the list, and that way everyone will have the benefit of them. And certainly there's nothing stopping anyone from doing that. It's really up to the other constituencies. So we'll look for your email then, Ross, and to meet at the same time next week.
That's great.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.